In 1978, Ron was still in Tulsa and sharing an apartment with Stan Wilkins, an iron worker 4 years his junior. The two had a fondness for guitars and popular music and spent hours strumming and singing. Ron had a strong, untrained voice and promising talent with his guitar, an expensive Fender model. He could sit and play it for hours. The disco scene was hot in Tulsa, and the two roommates went out often. After work, they'd have a few drinks, then head for the clubs where Ron was well known. He loved the ladies and was utterly fearless in his pursuit of them. He would survey the crowd, pick out the hottest woman, and ask her to dance. If she agreed to dance, then he usually took her home. His goal was a different woman every night. Though he loved to drink, he was careful when he was on the prowl. Too much booze might hamper his performance. Certain chemicals, however, did not. Cocaine was roaring through the country and widely available in the clubs in Tulsa. There was little thought given to sexually transmitted diseases. The biggest concern was herpes. AIDS had yet to appear. For those so inclined, the late 1970s were wild and hedonistic, and Ron Williamson was out of control. On April 30, 1978, the Tulsa police were called to the apartment of Liza Lynch. When they arrived, she told them that Ron Williamson had raped her. He was arrested on May 5th, posted bail of $10,000, and was released. Ron hired John Tanner, a veteran criminal defense attorney, and freely admitted to having sex with Lynch. He swore it was consensual. They'd met in a club, and she'd invited him back to her apartment, where they eventually went to bed. Tanner actually believed his client, a rare occurrence. To Ron's friends, the idea of rape was ridiculous. Women practically threw themselves at him. He could take his pick in any bar, and he wasn't exactly stalking young maidens at church. The women he met in the clubs and discos were looking for action. Though he was humiliated by the charges, he was determined to act as though nothing bothered him. He partied as hard as ever and laughed off any suggestion that he was in trouble. He had a good lawyer. Bring on the trial. Privately, though, he was frightened by the process, and for good reason. To be charged with such a serious crime was sobering enough, but to face a jury that could send him to prison for many years was a terrifying prospect. He kept most of the details from his family. Ada was 2 hours away. But they soon noticed an even more subdued personality, and even wilder mood swings. As his world became gloomier, Ron fought back with the only tools he had. He drank more, kept even later hours, chased even more girls, all in an effort to live the good life and escape his worries. But the alcohol fueled the depression, or maybe the depression required more alcohol. Whatever the combination, he became moodier and more dejected, and less predictable.